This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Now, the unusual situation of President Bush, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, the chorus of calls for Mr. Rumsfeld's resignation, and the counter-chorus of Rumsfeld supporters writing op-ed columns and appearing on Sunday newsmaker shows. We wondered how unusual this all is. A controversial senior cabinet secretary who is strongly identified with an unpopular policy, and a president who is being urged to dismiss him and who's standing by him. So we've invited presidential historian Robert Dalek to talk with us once again. Welcome back.
Thank you.
As you follow this pretty candid and raw debate about whether Donald Rumsfeld should be fired, what, if any, precedents or parallels come to mind for you?
Well, this is unprecedented in the sense that you have these general officers who are all retired, but they're speaking out vociferously and forcefully against the sitting Secretary of Defense. Now, there have been plenty of struggles between presidents and military officers and between cabinet officers. In particular, you had, of course, during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln moving along and changing generals until he could find a winning general in Ulysses S. Grant. Harry Truman sacking Douglas MacArthur because MacArthur was challenging his strategy in Korea. And Lyndon Johnson kicked out Robert McNamara because McNamara told him that he had lost faith in what they were doing in Vietnam. This happens when you have a faltering, failing war. It doesn't happen when you have a successful war, World War I, World War II. You didn't have this kind of a conflict between a president and officers or defense or war secretaries.
Although we should point out here that it did happen during the Civil War. At the time, the Civil War was a failing campaign when Lincoln was firing generals.
Well, that's right. Yes. And that's why he was firing the generals. So, but once he found, of course, Grant, who wins big battles in 1864 and allows Lincoln to get reelected. But once you have a failing enterprise, then heads, so to speak, begin to roll, or there is a call for dismissal.
Well, here we have calls for a dismissal by retired generals who would have us believe that they speak for many generals who won't say anything because they're still in uniform, although there are other generals who've come out in defense of Secretary Rumsfeld. What do you think of the presidential virtue of standing loyally by the senior aide who's been there all along? Do you think we, as a people, read that as something virtuous, that kind of loyalty, or not?
Well, people who are supporters of the administration see it as virtuous, and those who are critical of the war see it as wrongheaded and compounding the mistakes that have been made in the Iraq War. And, of course, I think that Mr. Bush stands firmly behind Secretary Rumsfeld because they're joined at the hip. If he acknowledges that Rumsfeld has made terrible errors and deserves to be forced out, then it's a confession of failure on Mr. Bush's part. So I don't see how he can push him out unless he finds, you know, some devious means or some devious excuse for doing it.
But let's go back to the example you cited of Robert McNamara and Lyndon Johnson. McNamara left the Pentagon. He had been brought there by John F. Kennedy, who then died, and he was therefore in the Johnson cabinet. He's replaced by Clark Clifford, who is then an elder statesman of the president's party, who then famously launched a review of a policy in Vietnam that produced the document we know as the Pentagon Papers. There was a case when the change of personnel was accompanied by a review of the policy at issue.
But it didn't help, Robert, because Vietnam was a failed enterprise, and it was trumped by Tet, the fact that you had this terrible campaign against the South Vietnamese and against American forces.
It was early 1968 when
exactly
an uprising.
Late January, early February, an uprising, and what it did was strike a great psychological blow against the American and South Vietnamese war effort. And so as long as you have a continuing sense of loss, of defeat, it's going to make it impossible for the president or the Secretary of Defense to make a comeback. I'd make one other point, which is the question of why is it that there is so much controversy over this Iraq war? After all, it's not like Vietnam. In Vietnam, we lost 58,700 American lives. Here, I don't make light of the fact that some 2,300 lives have been lost, but it's nowhere near what you lost in Vietnam. This war, however, stands in the shadow of Vietnam. People remember that quagmire, the sense of loss, of frustration, and the polls began to show people thought the war was a mistake. And very quickly now on Iraq, the same kind of opinion has surfaced.
There seems to be something else at work here, which was that when Secretary of State Rice spoke of many, many tactical errors that had been made, tactical errors are made by generals, or if not colonels for that matter. So the implication seemed to be, and I've heard this from people, that if things are going badly, they're going to try to blame it on the military. Hence we see retired soldiers standing up.
Exactly. And they remember Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the military did not speak out against the errors that they felt were being made there, and they were the ones who took the fall. There was a lot of blame cast on the military after that Vietnam failure. And so this time, it seems to me, what they're saying is, we're not going to take the fall. And once Condoleezza Rice said, oh, tactical errors, I think it sent a signal to them that they needed to stand up and defend the military.
We can assume, going beyond wars, we can assume presidents will make mistakes. They will pursue policies or they'll take advice that turns out to be bad. Mm-hmm. Are there good examples of presidents who fired people at key moments and dissociated themselves from policies that were dragging them down?
Well, I mean, Truman, of course, kicking out MacArthur, Johnson kicking out McNamara, but it didn't help them because both the Korean and Vietnam Wars didn't turn in a more constructive direction. And so it's not the subordinates getting rid of them. It may give you a temporary boost in the polls, but it's not going to solve your problem. And in a sense, it may well be that Mr. Bush understands this, and what he understands is that he's got to find some way to convince the public that we're winning that war. And short of that, I don't think the Rumsfeld issue is going to be all that significant for
Perhaps him. He is the former Major League Baseball owner who is not going to fire the manager, which seldom does any good.
Good analogy.
Robert Dalek, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Robert Dalek, presidential historian, currently writing a book about President Nixon and Henry Kissinger.